Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
So I guess here's my first question is, what got you both into wanting to do bodybuilding?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So while we were dating, me and my wife met at the gym at EOS. So like
Hold on. Let's rewind that. How did you met your wife at EOS?
Yeah, I just met her at EOS.
You met the girl at EOS?
Yes, I did, and I got married to her.
Look at you.
I know. One of the good ones, right? One of the good stories. But she pushed me into it, and like, because I would talk about like, oh, I need a coach. I want to cut. You know how you say like, you want to cut. You're on this endless bulk, and you don't really know how to cut.
Yeah.
And like, you kind of like know how to cut, but it's like, there's something that's keeping you from it. And I met Andrew through a buddy from one of the old YSA awards that I went to, and I just started talking to Andrew. And then a couple weeks after I got married, actually like January 1st of this year, we just met and we just started talking. I was like, I want to do this. And I didn't compete till August. So it was like 8 months of just grueling, intense dieting, lifting more than I ever have before. So it was like, my wife really got me into this, and we both fell in love with it because she might even do a show here soon. But it's like, I have
a couch. So if you guys start doing this when you're getting ready for a show, you can come crash on the
couch.
She did
great. She definitely handled. I don't feel like I was too angry because once we got into routine, it was routine. We were both working. We were both doing, you know, and it definitely brought us closer together because our whole marriage was basically me on prep. So now that I'm off prep, it's like we see all these wonderful blessings that we received. It's like, wow, prep really like brought our marriage together. So it's cool. Awesome. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
What is it that got you into, into bodybuilding? Yeah. And then how did you find your coach?
So my parents are super big lifters. They've been my whole life. Like my parents are insanely jacked. And so I grew up around that.
Okay.
But I graduated college in January and I was like, I'm bored. I have 3 degrees.
Wow.
And I have 3 different certificates. And so I've always been in school. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm bored. I have so much free time. I'm going crazy. All I do, and I work from home. I have 2 jobs. I work from home and I don't do anything all day long. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So we went to, do you know Nestor?
Uh-huh.
So I went to Nestor's show because his girlfriend's my best friend.
Okay.
And I went to the Warrior one. And I was so inspired. I was like, this is so cool. I wonder if this is something I'd want to get into for all my free time. And sure enough, I was at EOS and I know Herc through there too, Andrew. And I just went up to him just like out of curiosity. I was like, hey, what do you think about like coaching women? Do you have a specific coach you'd want to refer to me as a woman? And he was like, no, I would love to. Let's go. And I was like, deal, sign right there. That deal.
I was really
sold.
Like, I'm in.
Yep. Yeah. He talked to me about it for like 20 minutes and I said, okay, we'll start tonight. And he sent me all the paperwork that night and here we are. And I started back in March, so I've been on pre-prep for a while. Jeez.
It's the pre-prep that hurts.
Pre-prep's brutal.
It does.
So I was working with a different trainer, and I had seen him at the gym. You know, one morning, there's a buddy of mine who, for years, I want to do a show, but like he never pulled the trigger. And then we got talking, and he's like, I can't. It's too expensive. I can't do it. So I saw Andrew was doing legs. So I walked over, and I said, I grabbed my buddy, I said, come with me. I walked him over to Andrew, and I said, I'm going to pay for his show, his training, everything. My only caveat is if he quits, he has to reimburse me. And so got him signed up. He started working with him. And then I was like, maybe I should work with him. And I just switched it and been training ever since. And we did a leg day. Mm. And after that, I was like, okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I mean, the lunges suck at the end, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doing my lunges, yeah.
You hit that leg press and it's like, lunges. And it's, it's freaking insane. So I'll have you start on this one.
Okay.
This journey of committing to bodybuilding and training, what is the biggest thing you've learned about yourself?
Oh boy, that one's loaded. I think there's quite a few. That I make excuses for myself. I think that's been the biggest one, is I've never seen how the repercussions of being like, oh, I deserve, oh, I've earned with food.
Yeah.
Learning food control and self-control and that, because I've never... The gym isn't the hard part. Everybody says that, right? Everyone's like, oh, it's not hard to lift. It's not hard to get there, get to the gym. It's not, it's the food. And I think that's been super eye-opening for how I, like, my standard routines, the way I treat food, the way I view it. I think that's been the biggest learning thing is food and my lack of discipline and self-control.
How do you balance, I guess, you work two jobs. How do you balance training, work, and then when do you make time for you?
At night. Yeah, so the perks I have is I do work from home for both my jobs, and they both coexist at the same time. So in the mornings, I get up and I do my morning cardio, my 80 minutes of the stair stepper.
Oh, he's and on, then I you're do, on 80 minutes already?
And I do abs and back extensions. In the morning, I'm home by 9 a.m. I work from 9 to about 2, go to the gym, and then from 4:30, 5 o'clock, the rest of the night's my time. And I hang out with friends, I embroider, I do crafts, I read, yeah.
What, I gotta ask, what do you do for work?
So I work for a solar company, I'm their accountant.
Okay.
And I do their accounting and their like customer service, like any problems there. Okay. And then I also work for a law firm. Oh. And I answer the phone. Okay. So I'm just a receptionist for a law firm, and then the two can coexist, so.
And then what are your 3 degrees?
So I have 2 associate's degrees in 2 different kinds of science. I have an associate's degree in medical science because I was going into nursing, didn't want to do that. Then I have an associate's degree in computer science because I wanted to go out of computer science, changed my mind. And now I have a bachelor's in communication and applied communication.
Okay.
And then the 3 certificates I have is I have my CNA, my med tech, and my EMT training because I was going to go into nursing.
What is it you want to do with communications?
HR, PR, just kind of whatever. It was just kind of the best degree that was the most universal. That's what everybody says when you say, I'm going to school for communications. They say, what even is that?
Yeah.
It's everything. Okay. So, and it was kind of just the best way to finish. I was like, I need to get my degree.
Okay.
So it's everything. Right now, that the job I have now works with that. So the communication being in accounting and HR and all okay. that.
We need to have a PR conversation.
Deal.
Because that's what I do. And yeah. It's the funnest thing.
It is.
I mean, I've done PR for brands and products,
okay.
but now I do PR for people,
mm-hmm.
and it is so much fun.
Good.
To yeah, go out and just, I mean, a week and a half ago, I was in Miami for a week, and literally I got there and I had a penthouse to myself.
That's awesome.
And I had the gym, I FaceTime Andrew, gym was 3 stories, so I would work out, and then I would do Zoom meetings in the hot tub. And then chill. And then, yeah, it was freaking awesome. I was like, I could live here forever.
Yeah.
So I guess for you, you already talked about how training and bodybuilding has blessed your marriage and connected you and your wife.
Yeah.
What is the thing that you've learned about yourself personally that's come from it?
Again, like she said, there's so many different things. It's honestly like a weekly thing that you learn. Something about yourself. Definitely food. I definitely kind of just ate whatever I wanted beforehand, and then like learning how to actually, because like I knew how to be disciplined from serving a mission, right? But I didn't really know how to like embroider that like hardcore discipline to push yourself to get as lean as being on stage, right? Especially from, I kind of like transformed my body too. So I was talking like the pre-prep stage. It was hard for me because I really had to push myself. Okay, I got to eat 6 meals a day. I got to eat this with this. I actually have to push myself in this way. The training is the easiest part.
I've
always loved going to the gym. Like her, like my parents going to the gym forever. You know, my dad was in the military, giant jacked guy, right? So it's like I've always seen that. My parents instilled that in me, but kind of learning that discipline was hard. I would also say learning how to trust. Like trusting Andrew, right? Trusting, okay, he sees this, he's taking my carbs away. So there's a reason why he's taking my carbs away, right? I have to trust, especially that final week, like, hey, like, we're still digging, we're getting leaner, right? And that trust factor, like, was really important to me. There's a quote, I have like this whiteboard that I had like weeks left, like my countdown, my whiteboard, and I put, trust everything will work out. Because you never see the finish line, right? Yeah. You just kind of see what's in front of you, but you see the light at the end. So for me, learning how to trust him, but also God, right? Really push even myself too to like actually do the work. Because you got to be confident and have that faith in yourself to be disciplined.
Yeah.
And that's definitely like the biggest thing that I learned.
I love that. What have you seen that, I guess, what is the biggest lesson that you can take away from bodybuilding that you would apply to, let's say, business or something that's nothing to do with working out?
I think that trust factor and that work, that I think discipline and trust kind of go like hand in hand, right? Because you have to be disciplined in that business. You got to work hard, right? Or nothing's going to happen, yeah. Right? Same thing with bodybuilding. You got to work hard. You got to lift. You can't just lift easy weights. You got to push yourself. You got to hit PRs weekly, right? You know, and that same thing with trusting. You have to trust that the hard work will get to where you need to go. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay. For both of you, what is your favorite and least favorite body group to work out?
Oh, legs, man. I hate
you
legs.
Hate legs?
I hate legs.
Hate legs.
I'm all legs.
See, that's my favorite.
I'm all legs. No. And
how many times a week do you have to hit legs?
Twice.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't like hitting biceps.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's not. I love chest.
Why do you hate biceps?
It just doesn't feel as like when I get a chest pump, everything is pumped.
Rewarding.
Like my whole upper body is just veined out and pumped, and hit biceps, it's like, it's cool, but it's like, what if I hit shoulders and it made my whole arm look cool,
yeah,
instead of just a small bicep,
that's
right?
True.
So
that's interesting, because I feel like every dude at EOS is in a wife beater and doing sure. biceps in front of the mirror, just sitting there.
Just curling.
Yeah, the whole time. I mean, I saw a kid the other day and I wanted to go say something because he was like, throwing them. And I was like, my dude, can I help you? And you know, and that's what I struggle with. Like even, don't cancel me for saying this, I cannot stand the trainers at Vasa or EOS. Because I'm just like, you don't even look like you've ever worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you going to tell me?
Yeah. I have that same problem. And like, I work at Vasa.
Oh, do you?
I'm a certified personal trainer.
Oh, well, that's not a shot at you.
No, everybody but you.
Everyone but you.
Like, I'm an NPC competitor, right? So it's like I just did my show. I look the part per se, and it's like, if somebody's like Andrew, I will listen to whatever he says.
Because yeah.
Look how he looks. He looks crazy. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like that same point.
Because I did training for years, trained athletes, ran a gym for 9 years. I got my NASM. I went through all this stuff. My brother became a trainer at the EOS up in Sandy.
Yeah.
He went like a day and a half when he was certified. And I was like, that does not, no way in a day and a half do you know the human body or how to train people or how to help people mentally. I'm like, it took me years. I started with 2 kids and, you know, went up to 200 plus, but it took year after year of learning and failing and research and studying. And I just feel like I wish our gyms would focus more on, if you're going to have trainers, have the right people.
Exactly.
Except you. I mean, because there's one, I'm just going to say it. There's one kid who annoys me more than any kid. You know exactly who I'm talking about. He works at EOS.
I bet I do.
I nicknamed him the obese trainer. You know what I'm talking about? He was the head trainer at Vasa.
I think so.
Nasty beard, long hair, yeah. Beer belly. Like the other day, he had one of those giant like soda cups from the gas station, chugging soda while his dude was like this on the bench. And I'm like, what are you, how are they paying you money?
Yeah, it's definitely, because like when I got my certification like a year ago, and my degree is exercise science.
Okay.
So like I've been trying to learn as much as I can, you know, for my degree about the body, how everything works. And then I did a bodybuilding show and I kind of had like, would always ask questions to Andrew and kind of have him like mentor me in that way, so that like when I could become a coach, because I just started at the Vasa, I could do school, you know, and do that as well.
Vasa.
So me and my wife, we live in Lehigh.
Okay.
So the Lehigh Vasa right there. So
you didn't want to be a private trainer?
It's like I did a little bit. I dabbled, but it was like, it's not as like a for sure thing, right? Because it's like I don't have so many people following me on social media, right? I use that for like my bodybuilding, my progress. You know, if I had more people, then totally, you know, would be totally privatized. But it's a little bit harder to do that business aspect when it would be easier and more secure for my wife if I had a job that would actually pay. And it's kind of like more that dynamic between me and her, you know.
Makes sense.
I would love to do that privately though. That'd be awesome.
Okay. So let's pivot the conversation. You guys are in the thick of training. You've done a show. You're getting ready for a show. What is, if you had to give 3 pieces of advice to someone who wants to get into bodybuilding, into lifting, what would you tell them?
Do you have 3 completely ready?
No, but I have one.
I have one too. My first one would be trusting your coach.
That's
the amount
one, yep.
of people everywhere I go, I'm like, hey, I'm doing a bodybuilding show. And everyone's like, oh, is your coach doing this? Is your coach doing that? And from the very
question
first day,
everything. Yeah.
as soon as I was like, hey, I pick Herc because I know what he does. I know how he has worked through his programs. And by becoming a member of his team, I'm trusting him fully. Everybody else is going to give me, everybody wants to give you their advice, tell you what worked for them, tell you that their coach, and still to this day, people, like yesterday, I had a guy that was like, oh, your coach shouldn't be doing that. And I was like, I don't believe you. I'm going to go ahead and just do what he says.
Everybody's body is different, right?
So trusting your coach if you have a coach, or finding someone that you will completely trust 100%. That's number one.
I'd say that's one of mine. Another one is just getting started. Just like me, I just had to, like, my wife pushed me to getting a coach. I just jumped into it, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to have a show picked out, but you can kind of do, like, start off as, like, a lifestyle client and be like, you know, no, I want to do a show. And then, you do the show. But he'll help you, like, Andrew helped me for, like, the first couple months really, like, get my body composition back in check, get leaner, and then we bulked for a little bit before the show. And I grew muscle into my show, which was super cool to see and seeing, like, my progress. And I was like, I just start. Like, I just jumped into the thick of it, and it works, right? Refiner's fire, honestly, in a sense, so.
Well, and I agree with both of you, because, like, for me, the biggest question that people ask me, they look at me, they're like, why do you have a coach? And I'm like, A, I'm too lazy to come up with my own workouts. B, if I'm not investing into someone, I don't have motivation to go. Because if I'm just training for free, then I could sleep in one day. There's nothing that holds me accountable. And so in the past 2 years, I created what I call my dream team. I went and hired a human behavior specialist or a therapist that I work with. I have, do you guys know Toni Rose? She works out at, I know you, if you, I'll show you a picture and you here, you guys will recognize her as soon as you see the picture. She does a lot of like spiritual healing, meditation and stuff like that. You find the appropriate picture, hold on. So many. So what the heck?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen her. She competes.
But she does stuff where she does, you can go in and she does like the facial, and then she does the sound baths and the music. Mm-hmm. And so she became my spiritual coach, and we've been great friends. And then, you know, I hired Andrew so I could do the nutrition and the fitness and everything, because I'm like, every aspect of my life, I want, you know, someone that can guide me, hold me accountable. And I even told Andrew when I signed up with him, I hired a nurse that I see every week. She does all my supplements, everything. Yeah, and I told him, I said, I'm going to go all in. I said, this is going to cost an arm and a leg. But at the same time, but if you look at our age now, if we take care of our bodies, what we're paying now is nothing to if you don't take care of it years from now when you have to have surgeries and different things. And so for me, I'm like, it's an amazing commitment to do and to take care of your body. And when you look good, you feel good. There's just a different confidence that you have. I mean, I remember I was like almost 320 pounds. And you mean you're eating ice cream, wearing sweatpants everywhere, so you're loving life, but you don't feel the same and you feel sluggish and you can't move. And so, yeah, my thing is like, just find the coach that's right for you, that works with you. But find a coach who actually knows what they're doing. Because there are a lot of kids who, and Andrew and I talked about this, they'll do one bodybuilding show and then I'm a coach, sign up.
Yeah.
And there's some dudes who I first signed up with, and they're like, they never showed up for the accountability calls that they scheduled and everything. And so they refunded me everything, but I'm just like, so many kids, and I feel like especially Utah County, every kid is either a fitness influencer or some type of trainer, coach. I mean, it's nuts to me.
Everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big here. It's really big here. Yeah.
Well, and then the price ranges are so different between all of them, and I'm just like, you're just picking a random number, throwing out there, hope it sticks. So I guess one question I have for you is, I know there's a few, I can't name names so I'll get in trouble, but there are a few coaches I know based in the Salt Lake area who have made their female clients super uncomfortable.
Okay.
They're inappropriate with them. Is that something you wanted to research and understand before you went with a coach?
Based off my personality, no, but I could see that being an issue for sure. I was going to say just by But no, just based off my personality, that wasn't necessarily a concern of mine. But with the intensity that Herc and I have to stay in cahoots, I can see that being a question. I mean, I send him photos of me in a bikini once a week. I work out with him twice a week where he has to give me updates. I text him about everything. And I mean, you know directly from having a show, the intimacy of what I have to tell him for how I'm feeling, what I'm doing.
You're like my this. Body, like he knows
how your system works. I hate the check-in photos myself because I just...
Yeah.
But it's what, every Tuesday?
Mine are every Thursday.
Every Thursday? Yeah. Yeah, he sends me a text in the morning. Check-in day.
Yep. Don't forget.
I know. There's one day I was like, I'm just going to send you me completely naked. Deal with it. He's like, no, you can be in your underwear. But yeah. I was just curious about that.
No, I could see that being a thing, and I definitely know a couple of other coaches. I've had Andrew will testify. Yeah. I've had a couple people try to thief me from him. Mm-hmm. But no, he's an incredible coach. And through loyalty here, I won't go with anyone else. So just from everything he's done for me.
He's a good coach too. Like he knows what he's doing. Like he's put so many people on stage that it's like, he knows what he's doing.
I did tell him though, he's got to get us some more swag. I'm like,
yeah, I'm waiting for my hoodie. Yeah,
that's what it's I'm sweet. Saying.
I have my extra large one that I wore when I got my tan and everything. It's nice.
Yeah.
A little representation, you know.
No, he's great from just everything. Yeah.
Awesome.
He does good.
We'll start here. What was your favorite part about being in bodybuilding prep?
The progression weekly. Okay. When I was like 10 weeks out, like the changes that I was seeing, I was like, dang, I do have abs. Like I was seeing like the differences every single week, and it really just motivates you. You know, the check-ins honestly like motivate me because I was like, wow, I'm like, my body's like literally physically changing every week because of my nutrition and training. But a lot of it is, you know, that 80% nutrition. And I thought that was really cool to just see like those physical changes every week.
How about yourself?
Mine would probably be the same, the physical changes. The new workouts,
I don't get none of the workouts.
We've changed mine up quite a bit.
Have you?
Yeah, and that's kind of the perks of working with Andrew is his ability to make things work for you. Like him and I, we talked a while back when I first started my like prep about like me just being picky and like the things I didn't and didn't want to eat. And he's like, another coach would have told you to just shove it and eat it.
Yeah.
But he would work with me on like workouts. There was things that like I struggled to do and he'd change it to something I could do better or meals that I'd enjoy more. So that's been huge. And then the progression's everything.
And he knows his stuff. Like he's the first trainer I've hired that has told me, you only need to work out legs. He's like, your legs are fine. So you don't have to work them out once a week. I was like, okay, this guy knows.
I'm with you.
I'm like, he knows. I do not. Cause every Saturday I play basketball with a group of buddies at 6 a.m. and I had to do legs right after. And it was the most brutal. And I used to even, do you guys know what Kush cubes are? Mm-hmm. So I used to pound a Kush cube.
Yeah.
I would be out of it, but I'm like.
Best workout?
Oh, I can get.
Incredible muscle mind connection.
You can get through it. You don't feel any pain, any soreness. My problem is though, is the Kush cube, that thing hits me and doesn't wear off till like the next day.
Yeah.
And I get the munchies and you've never had one?
What is it?
I've never
is
had
it
like one.
You've never had one?
Okay. I never had one. I used to sell them. I used to work at a vape shop.
Okay, I'm gonna buy you each one and you can try it.
But they I used to sell them.
Cause so I bought it at the supplement shop that used to be at Vasa before they left over the Red Taco. So Connie sold me one and I was like, well, this is at a supplement shop at a Vasa, it can't hit. So I took it and I was like, what is happening? And it's just freaking, it hits. It's not even a lot of CBD, the THC, it's not even a ton, but whatever it does.
It just, your mind.
Perfect mix of both. Yeah.
Like you want to do a leg workout and just send it for hours, take a Kush cube.
Interesting. Ultimate pre-workout.
Well, and then like I took it once and I called one of my friends and I was like driving in Heber and just, you're just smiling and driving as if nothing's happening. Let's talk supplements. What do you two believe in, pre-workouts, or do you just go and send it? Do you do coffee before? What is it that you guys used, I guess, to kickstart?
Honestly, I believe that there's a lot of good things out there, and then there's a lot of things that are just like crap, right? Pre-workout, the whole job is to just get you energy, and it's just caffeine, right? It's almost the same as coffee, right? And basically all pre-workouts are kind of like the same in that sense. I think creatine, obviously, scientifically backed, perfect, right? Everybody should be taking creatine with its like, with its benefits. I'm a big believer in like the hydration, like making sure your body's hydrated, because I've gotten the best pumps. I take a liquid IV every morning with my creatine. First thing I take, because it just like hydrates my body. I also just got some EAAs that I'm going to be taking every morning to kind of just like, because I like post-show, I got a lot of inflammation. So it's kind of just like kicking that inflammation out so I can just kind of get my body in that process. And I think like vitamins, like how you were talking earlier, super important. Like fish oils, vitamin C, kind of like that way, like vitamin D3, K2, like it's all, if you really want to like maximize, because I'm like trying to maximize my gains, right? My muscle, my lean muscle mass, because I'm in that post-show reverse bulking, right? I want to take everything that I can to like naturally boost what I got, right? And me and Andrew have talked a little bit about vitamins. We're actually going to talk a little bit more in depth about it, but I think those are very, very important.
Okay. How about for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't take pre-workout.
At all?
No, but I do drink a Monster. I have like the little 12-ounce Monsters every day. The sugar-free, zero calories.
I love it.
Yep. I drink those before the gym. I do drink coffee in the morning, and then I am on the markup of supplements. I take creatine in the mornings with CLAs, fish oil, my fat burners. I take B12, collagen.
You're doing the full sends.
I'm trying to think. I have literally a full pill container every morning just to help it with everything. So and especially being on such a strict diet, everything that I'm eating is beneficial in what my body needs to get where I need to get. But I also feel like I need a little bit more energy from certain things. And there's things that I'm not eating in my food because I'm only having broccoli that I need from fruits and other things that all of these supplements
that you don't get.
And vitamins are making up for.
Okay.
To keep me kind of feeling whole while I'm not. Yeah. So, huge believer. I've always been on a great list of
them. You do espressos or full coffee?
I drink coffee with my sugar-free creamer. Yep.
Have you ever had an espresso?
No, I have never.
So I was in Miami. I've never had one. Those things kick. You want to wake up? Like, I had my pre-workout, and the next morning, he's like, just drink this. So you take the little cup, and that thing wakes you
just
up.
Just like a shot straight of pure caffeine. Shot, yeah.
But it's, I mean, the thing is, religious-wise, I'm not supposed to drink coffee, but an espresso versus
a Monster Energy,
or a bucked up.
Yeah.
I drink Monsters almost every day, so I can't.
Well, see, and that's the concern. I'm like, the caffeine levels are the same.
Yeah.
One's natural, one is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I, Jamie, who runs Smash It, one day he told me he gave a guy like Kool-Aid as a pre-workout.
Yeah.
Dude went to gym, came back, that's the best pre-workout I've ever had. And it's crazy how much of it is just placebo. Mental. Yeah. Like, I'm taking something, so obviously it's going to do
it's
something.
It's just caffeine. Yeah. It's like, and they'll throw chemicals in there, like beta, like whatever.
Alkaline.
Yeah, just like to make you feel, I guess, a little bit more. But it's kind of like hydrate. Like, if you just drink like 5 liters of water before you go lift, you'll get a pump.
Yeah.
When I was on zero carbs a day, I drink like 200 plus ounces of water before the gym. And I'd be a small pump, but I'd still get a pump.
You do the salt before the gym?
A little bit, yeah. And like I would salt my foods pretty heavily pre-workout, but yeah.
What is your, through training, what has your favorite meal been?
Andrew let me have pancakes for months.
Real
Kodiak
pancakes?
Kodiak cakes for months, dude.
I miss those.
For months. with some almond butter for months.
And what'd you do, sugar-free syrup?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I love
it. I did Kodiak cakes for months too.
My body was burning through everything.
You gotta specify Kodiak cakes, because those are Kodiak pancakes.
It's Kodiak, so they're different. But they, like, when my body was like peak metabolism, I was shredding through. Like, I would have a triple patty In-N-Out burger on Fridays, and I'd wake up lighter.
Is that your cheat meal?
Yeah.
You like In-N-Out?
I just kept it consistent because I didn't want to change it. Because it was just In-N-Out, In-N-Out, In-N-Out. And, like, once I really got in, like, 10 weeks out, it was just, I just wanted to say, eat the same thing every week.
Yep.
Not mess with my metabolism. And it was working. Mine was like fancy burning burger. Through it.
Yeah. Fancy burger?
Yeah.
I've heard it's having. Great.
Oh my goodness.
It's that good?
It's incredible.
It looks it is empty. The
best burger. Where is it at?
It's all right over by EOS next to that Mr. Shabu's in that parking lot. Okay. Across.
That mountain by, it, yeah. Mountain Mike's pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say Magic Mike's.
By the Crumble. Mountain
Mike's. Yeah. Mountain is there a Crumble pizza. Right there?
I think there's a Crumble right there.
Anyway, incredible. It's a little bit expensive.
No, I'm not a Crumble guy. I like their chocolate chip cookies, but like, no, I like homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Fancy burger. Is it expensive or is it?
Yeah. It's like all right. It's probably
like $50
for $225. It's extremely high quality. You guys know Devin from the gym, Big Devin. He's also a trainer.
Devin.
Anyway, I think I'd probably notice. They're like super. The meat cut's super nice. They put 10% bacon in it.
Ooh. Oh wow!
They smash them like smash burgers. They make their buns there. Yeah, it's extremely worthwhile. Meal? Yeah, not anymore. But it was. I had it consistently for my cheat meal every Thursday.
Every Friday for me.
Okay.
Till it goes away.
It's gone now.
7 weeks.
Yeah.
The final countdown.
Final countdown.
Which shows it that you're doing?
So I'm doing the NPC, and I'm doing all three categories. I'm doing
that's what I did.
Novice bikini,
yeah.
Overall bikini, and then wellness, because I'm built for wellness right now. But once I'm leaned out, I'll probably be kind of in the middle. So
how did your parents feel about you guys doing bodybuilding shows?
This is going on Instagram, so I got to be a little careful. They weren't super supportive at first.
No, full send. No. Let's.
Yeah.
Mom and dad, we're talking to you. Let's hear it.
My parents weren't super supportive at first. My dad was saying that he was worried about addiction, about like creating this unmaintainable realistic. High.
Yep.
Yeah. He was like, I'm really afraid that you're going to get on stage at 125 pounds of lean, absolute muscle, and you're going to pick up a drug addiction or an eating disorder or something, because you're going to become something that you can't keep up. Yeah. So that was a little hard. And then my mom was just kind of like, I don't see like what the point, like, why would you do this? What's the fun in it? So they weren't super supportive, and they are now, but they were not for the first 3 months.
Okay.
See, my parents worked with trainers before. So like my dad has, he like knew a little bit about, he had one of his buddies when I lived in Ohio when I was a kid, he like worked with a guy who was a competitor like for a while. So they like kind of like knew the world-ish, and I kind of had the opposite. Like my parents, well, not the opposite, but like I was very like supportive, like it. But my parents also are like, you're an adult, like kind of like, you know, but they've definitely been very supportive and very like helpful. And my dad was at my show. He flew down, like if he didn't have to, I just invited him and flew down. I'm the oldest out of all my siblings. So it's kind of like my parents are really proud of that in that way.
Where is your family based?
Colorado.
Okay.
Denver. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you do a show in Colorado?
I'm thinking about it, just to travel. Traveling on prep would be, because it's like you could drive and then fly, but then you hold water when you fly. So it's like, but I'm like thinking drive, about stop it.
Planet Fitness is on the way.
Yeah, it's only a 6 hour drive, 7 hour drive. You don't even need to take a rest day.
The Denver airport take it. Sucks.
It does.
I've been delayed the last 3 times I was there.
I've been there. My flight was delayed for 9 hours once in the airport. Just in there, it's not the funnest.
I was coming back from DC, and it was like, we got in at 6. It's like midnight, and I'm like, we better take off, because I'm not staying in this. All the food places closed.
Yeah, everything shuts down.
And I just hate the way I feel when you travel.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to shower.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel sitting in the same clothes.
Yeah.
When for a month, I was like, I'm going to do a bodybuilding show. And the only thing my mom said is, I don't want to see you in a Speedo. And my dad's like, no, I want to be in the front row, take pictures. So yeah, it's interesting to see the way that parents look at it and see, because you do see the people who do fall into bad habits. And I mean, there's, you know, I know one kid at he's like 18 and on like every steroid known to man. And like, he posted a video, he pinned himself and like blood was spraying everywhere. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Look at this, guys. And I'm just like,
it's for the clout.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, you're 18, you have so much future ahead of you. I don't understand why. And like, you naturally have all the hormones and everything you need.
Yeah, bro. Like,
when he's old like me, then you can consider it. But So I want to pivot a little bit away from fitness. For let's remove lifting and bodybuilding, everything to the side. What are the goals that you guys have in your lives?
Like lifetime goals?
What do you want to achieve in the next 5 years that's not fitness related?
Pay off all my debts and buy a house.
Okay.
I think that'll be my next 5-year plan.
What area do you want to buy a house in?
Where? I don't know.
Utah? Or you want to go East
Coast, West Coast? I think we'll be out of Utah.
Really?
But I don't know where. Yeah.
East Coast.
You don't like Utah?
I grew up here. Actually, I'm from Texas, but okay. I did most of my majority living here. But
you're like, I'm done?
Yeah. I don't like the weather. I'm not a cold weather girl.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go like a Miami where it's humid, Nashville.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
Tennessee is pretty cool.
Yeah. Tennessee nice. Or Florida. Those are actually the two in mind. Really? So yeah.
Tennessee is amazing, except it gets beautiful. Too hot sometimes. But the music, the food is amazing. Florida is great. I mean, if you want to buy a house, Florida is the market to do it.
Right now, for sure.
What about for you? What's your...
Honestly, start a family.
Okay.
Right. You know, my wife's been ready, even though we've only been married for 8 months. And I'm like, you know.
She's got that Utah fever.
She's from Texas. Okay. So. It's the Latina. Because she's half Mexican. But that's probably a big one in 5 years, you know, more or less. Graduate college. I'm a junior right now. So two more years starting next week.
Where school are you at?
UVU.
Okay.
And then definitely PT school. I'm going to do physical therapy school, become a doctor in physical therapy. And then once I have that, you know, I could kind of work wherever. Me and my wife really like the idea. We haven't been to South Carolina, but we really like South Carolina. I have family in South Carolina. It's so pretty.
Get a house on the lake.
Yeah. Just right. Myrtle Beach. Sweet. Tennessee, we were thinking about Tennessee. I love Texas because of how cheap it is, but she doesn't want to go back to Houston, so.
Okay, so from Houston area?
Yeah, she's from Houston.
Okay, what part of Texas?
Dallas, Houston, Austin, Plano.
Okay.
Yeah, all around out there.
I'm curious because I feel like the trend has changed. When I graduated high school, it was like everyone's going to college. It's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I feel like a lot of kids I know don't go to college. Mm-hmm. What is it that led you to choose to go to college versus just start working?
My parents. Both my parents have college degrees and ended up going back for them. My mom went and got her bachelor's degree when she was 35 years old. So
that's cool.
I said to save myself the time, I'm just going to go. And everything I wanted to do required a degree. Okay. Going into nursing, going into computer science, the two that I started in. So
that was interesting because I started in computer science.
Mm.
And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm doing communications, PR, and marketing. What about for you, your parents?
Yeah, my dad's a doctor. Okay. And like he did it through the military. So like I remember growing up and like med school for him and like everything and kind of seeing the, you know, how he worked through it because it was hard. But I really liked that because it's like I wanted to be a doctor at first to follow in his footsteps. But then I like kind of like experienced a little bit of that. And I was like, not for me. But I wanted to stay in that like realm where I could like work with people one-on-one and kind of have a business aspect of it as well. And PT is like something that's been on my mind a lot, you know, did the religious thing about it, prayed about it, and, you know, researched it. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I got to do. So.
Okay. For both of you, if you had to, I guess, people to know you for one thing, we never know how much time we have left on this earth, but if you were to be remembered for one thing, what would that be?
That's pretty deep.
A go-getter.
A go-getter?
Somebody who says she just did it. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Someone who is trusted.
Okay. Elaborate on that.
Someone who people looked to as an example. Just how, like, I look to my father as an example. Everything he's did, everything that, you know, he created with his family, everything. Like, I'm closer to my mom, but I'm like, I've always looked up to my dad and kind of have that, like, be known as that family man, that leader, that trusted person.
Do you feel like within your friend group, do you feel like you're the one that everyone can trust and rely on and go to?
I would say so. I grew up with like 8 or 9 really close buddies. Actually, like one of them's getting married this next weekend. I got to drive up to Idaho later this week. But definitely, like, we all have our qualities. I think definitely, like, any of them could come to me at any time. With whatever, you know, with whatever thing. Like, one of my close buddies recently told me something about what he had going on in his life, and I was like, bro, like, just call me. Just give me a call. You know, like, especially when you're in prep, you're kind of not doing a lot of the time. You're just waiting for your next meal. Yeah. So it's like, bro, give me a call, you know? And I like having that connection one-on-one with people.
Okay.
That's why I became personal trainer as well, to have that extra income in a sense, but also be able to connect with people and have that trust.
One of the big things I've realized with, and you just talking about your close group of friends, is the last few weeks, I joined the coaching group and connected with all these other dudes. And it's the first time I felt like I have like this community of friends, yeah, and dudes I can rely on and call on, and we'll go on walks. And my dad was in town. 4 of us went to hike the G in Pleasant Grove. We go to breakfast, and a dude gave me a ride to the airport and picked me up. So I think it's huge on finding your tribe or the people around you that support you and uplift you. Have you found that your religious beliefs, your faith, changes who you find yourself around, or who you interact with?
Definitely. Like, I would say, like, my mission really shaped that for me.
Where'd you live?
Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Spanish speaking.
Okay.
I was called to Peru originally, but the COVID band, you know, didn't get to go. But I'm so happy I stayed in Salt Lake City. It was the Lord's plan. Definitely.
I'm proud of you for staying. I know some kids, but I'm going home. I ain't serving in Salt Lake.
It was like I was in a different country when you're Spanish speaking in Salt Lake. It was definitely different. Like, I was speaking Spanish every day. I had companions that were Hispanic, so it was really cool. Like, I was still so, like, I dove into each of those cultures.
That's why your wife is Hispanic.
She's half. She doesn't speak Spanish.
She doesn't speak Spanish?
No. She's half white, half Mexican.
Do you force her to learn Spanish?
I will speak Spanish to her, and she gets it, because where she works with a lot of Hispanic ladies, so, like, she, like, understands. But I'm like, when I speak really fast, she, like, doesn't really. But she's working on it. But definitely, like, the people, that tribe, definitely a lot of my companions. Like, the one who got married on Saturday was my trainer. And I absolutely love him. He's one of my boys. Like,
how long have you been back?
2 years.
Okay.
So 2 years, actually, as of like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So crazy. But definitely, like, there's a couple of my companions that I'm really, really close to. That, like, I was a groomsman in their wedding and everything. And, like, that I see that me and my wife have become friends with, you know, them, you know, their wives and everything. And it's really cool to, like, have that, like, because when you make a connection with your companion that you actually, like, become really good friends with, it's like, for you share those experiences for life. So, like, when you say, like, a tribe, I really think of, like, shared experiences.
Yeah.
And definitely my mission shaped the people that, like, I like being, because I don't, when you're married, you don't really see a lot of your buddies that often, right? Your wife is your number one priority always, right? So, like, when I get the chance, like, oh, I got to go to a bachelor party with my boys, or, like, you know, get a phone call from them, it's super important to me, because it allows me to, like, you know, keep those. And with guys, it's like, I don't need to see them every week to, like, connect with them in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And so definitely my mission shaped that.
Oh, that's awesome. It's awesome. It's when you have that tribe and you dig and connect on deeper levels. I have never hugged more grown men in my life the last 2 weeks. I've never cried with more grown men in the last 2 weeks, but you just, when you have that space where you're comfortable and you can be open, it changes the way that you live and you interact. For you, what is the biggest lesson you learned on your mission?
Dang. The biggest lesson was that, honestly, that God has a plan for me, right? Because I've always tried to be the person, like I said, that, like, people could rely on, that people could, like, look at me and, like, I can help them. But it's like, when you think about it, like, when you put it on yourself, like, does God actually have a plan for me? Like, what is this plan? And throughout prep, when your brain's, like, slowly turning to mush, when you're not eating enough food, right? Like, you really start to think about these things, and, like, how, like, does God want me to be successful? Does God want me to do this, do that, you know? But I really learned that, you know, God actually has a plan for me. That if I, like, that quote I was talking to you about earlier, trust that everything will work out, like, it's really played a role in that, in my life.
I love that. what for you, if we go from the beginning to right now to President Nelson, who would you say is your favorite apostle?
Elder Holland.
Why?
Because I'm biased, because he's the only prophet serving in Salt Lake. You'd think I'd see, I didn't see one apostle until 3 weeks before I finished my mission. I saw Elder Holland and he spoke to our mission. And it was really cool. And I've always loved his talks, but like when there's no cameras, nothing's being recorded, and he's just there in front of you, the power that you feel is just, the spirit was definitely one of the strongest moments of my life, just being in that room with him and just seeing him.
I loved on my mission, it was interesting. Whenever the apostle would visit, it'd be like a trove of missionaries who would go home. Because they're like, oh, I'm not worthy. Yeah. I don't want to shake an apostle's hand. And it's just crazy to see. And we even had this story. I don't believe it's true, but in my mission, so I served in West Africa in Ghana.
No, that's awesome.
And the tale was, Elder Holland came to visit.
Snapped plaques, and right?
He was shaking all the missionaries' hands. It was either he shook their hands or he felt their planners. And he put them in three groups.
Oh, dude, that's scary.
Sent this group home.
That's scary.
Told this group they need to repent, and this group was fine. I don't know if it's true, but that was the thing all of us were told when we went to MTC.
I had some of those legends too, and it's like, I don't know if I believe that, but yeah.
And so like when the apostles come, they're like, oh, you know, the day before, everyone's filling out their planners perfectly.
Make sure you're good.
They're ironing their shirts, they're cleaning up. It's just an interesting concept to see when they come. And I remember when I was in middle school, my dad was called as a mission president.
Wow.
And I was freshman year of high school, I'm in Africa, and I went out partying the night before. Me and my brother got our ears pierced the night. We were like rebels. And I remember we were in this hot tub. It was full of girls. We're having a great time. But the next day, President Nelson was presiding over the state conference.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there watching him, and my dad waved us up to come say hi. And President Nelson gives me a hug. And the only thing I'm thinking is every image from the night before, I'm like, he can see it. He can see all of this.
He can just
feel it. And so took the earrings out, never had my ears pierced ever since. It's just the presence and the power that those men have. It's just so interesting to be around them. Your Spanish is still good?
Yeah, I'm Spanish minor as well.
Oh, you did the full sentence.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I would love for you to share your testimony, but in Spanish.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not going to understand the word. Do you understand Spanish? Yeah, we're not going to understand the word.
Okay,
but
we'll see. Right now? Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ha sido un poco tiempo de tener la oportunidad de poder hablar en español y dar mi testimonio de lo que creo. Yo quiero decir que yo creo en Cristo. Yo creo en su sacrificio, en todas las cosas que ha hecho para mí. Yo sé que Él es mi Redentor y Salvador, y que se murió en la cruz para que pudiéramos tener una vida mejor, para que los hijos de Dios podrían tener una vida después de esta vida. Yo sé que Él me ha dado muchas, muchas bendiciones, que estoy muy agradecido que he podido tener. Yo sé que Él ha hecho demasiadas cosas para que pudiera tener la vida que tengo. Las bendiciones son muchas. Y yo sé que Él me ama mucho. Y digo estas cosas en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén.
Amen.
It's a little rusty.
You still got it.
I'm like, my grammar's like, my brain tries to switch into Spanish mode, you know? So that was better than I thought it would go.
Then
so
switch in and out of it?
Yeah.
Now I'll see if my video guy can translate it. Brother, thank you.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you for taking time. I appreciate you coming and filming.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.